forever. I'll love just you. Just promise me, darling, your love in return. Make this fire in my soul, dear, forever.
And welcome back to Breakthrough Entertainment right here on 1480 AM KPHX. Great guys, Joseph Verdo, our great producer and coffee stealer, Eric Reiner.
Yes, this is Breakthrough Entertainment's Corrupt Cop Show, and this is Johnny Ace singing Pledging My Love from Bad Lieutenant.
Absolutely. I saw the Nicolas Cage one. I know there was a Harvey Keitel one as well.
Yes, back this is from the Harvey Keitel. Actually, our next song will be from the Nicolas Cage.
I want to see that one, too. But, of course, this hour is brought to you by Arrowhead Wealth Management, the best at creating and protecting your wealth. Founder and radio host Conrad Kogeschell is heard live every first Wednesday at 11 a.m. Arizona time on BTBN, which is BreakRadioShow.com, and his shows are archived as well. Give him a call at 623-888-3210, 623-888-3210.
I feel like I'm in an old-timey diner right now.
It kind of is kind of that scary, suspenseful type of music. I wouldn't think of it from a cop movie, more of a horror movie.
Yeah, I wish we were in a diner right now because I'd love for some coffee.
Yeah, I can bring up the diner environment.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's okay. Maybe in another segment. Before we bring on our guest, real quick, go to BreakRadioShow.com, click on the big F. That'll take you to our Facebook page where you can comment, and also click on the link where you can watch behind the scenes on Meerkat. Now, this is only live. This is only live webcam, so you'll have to see that during the show. Go to BreakRadioShow.com, click on the big F for our Facebook, or you can find us on Meerkat at Breakthrough Entertainment, or on Periscope at Eric Reinert 1.
I believe it's Eric Reinert 1.
You can't check on this? I mean...
Well, not without stopping the camera.
Well, I know. That's true. That's true. Don't stop it, because we got that one viewer on there watching. All right. But I'm very excited about this. You know, of course, on Breakthrough Entertainment, we always like to talk about behind the scenes, insights, that kind of stuff. We like to get to the heart of the matter, the real life aspects of the movies we talk about. And, of course, we talked about Cop Car and law enforcement corruption. Mm-hmm. Right now, our guest is a retired police officer, private investigator, and true crime author, Vincent Hill. Thank you so much for joining us, Vincent.
Thank you, Joseph, for having me. How are you today?
Great, great. And also in studio, in addition to me, we have Greg Isaac and Eric Reinert.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Great. Nice to meet you, Vincent.
So, thank you. Likewise.
So now, Vincent, first of all, I understand you did get to see Cop Car?
I did. I actually watched it this morning. I wasn't able to go see it in theaters, but of course it's on video on demand, mm-hmm. so I was able to watch it this morning about 8 o'clock. So,
wow,
great movie overall.
Well, thank you very much for being a dedicated guest and helping us, you know, on that aspect as well. We want to get to some of the real life insights. But what did you think of Kevin Bacon's performance as a you know, corrupt cop in that movie?
You know, I think he played it, you know, to a T. I mean, the voice, the mustache, you know, the walk, his criminal narcissistic mind. I mean, I think it was to a T. He was so quick-witted. With it, you know, he called for this fake crime when the officer had pulled him over. Then he set the lady up to get shot in the field. So, I mean, I think he played the role to a T.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. And since you are a retired police officer, did you notice anything about his performance or more accurately, I guess, the movie and its portrayal of law enforcement? Of course, not, you know, the corruption part right now, but just in part... As law enforcement, anything that you picked out as maybe not true?
There are a few things, you know, here and there, just some of the movements he made, but that's small stuff that only a cop would pick up on that's been in law enforcement. So,
right. Okay. Yeah. Well, then, you know, tell us a little bit about your experience as a police officer. Of course, now you're a private investigator and true crime mm-hmm. author, but how many years did you serve as a police officer?
I was with Nashville Police for 5 years.
Okay.
Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. And currently you are a private investigator, right?
Yes. doing that, as well as have a series of books out and working on a third, actually. So
excellent.
Looking forward to getting that out as soon as possible.
Excellent. And we'd love to hear about some of those books in just a moment. But as a, you know, tell us a little bit about corruption. I mean, have you run across it in your, either as a police officer or a private investigator, have you run across corruption in law enforcement?
I have, and it's unfortunate, of course. But I actually worked with a few guys in Nashville that are actually now in federal prison for basically doing what Kevin Bacon did in the movie, being involved in narcotics. And, you know, it's tragic because, you know, people put on a badge and they're expected to uphold the law and, you know, arrest those that don't uphold the law. But yet you have people that will, for whatever reason, be it financial, be it a power trip, be it whatever, decide to cross that line into being just this rogue cop. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it happens. But, yes, I've definitely seen it.
And I'm glad you kind of brought up some of the reasons that, you know, someone might choose to do this. I mean, do you think that it's just being held to a higher standard? I mean, is that a lot of pressure on someone? Or?
Well, it's not really pressure. You know, that's why most people initially take the job. And I say most because there are people that take the job just to go out and do wrong. You know, it's sad, but it happens. But yeah, I think along the way, some officers get misguided. You know, they may see a prime example. I can't tell you how many traffic stops I've done and found $20,000 or $30,000 cash in the car. So the temptation to take that is, of course, always there. So yeah, I think some officers get caught in that trap of, well, here I am putting my life on the line for $40,000 a year. Here's my yearly salary that I could easily get away with, and who's going to know? So right. I think a lot of officers get trapped into that.
Right, and I know that another movie that we reviewed recently is the Stanford Prison Experiment, based on this true experiment. Where are you familiar with that film or the experiment?
No.
Okay. Well, basically, they flipped a coin. It was an experiment done at Stanford, I think back in the 70s. They flipped a coin, and certain amount of students were chosen to be correctional officers, and the other half were chosen to be prisoners. And, mm-hmm. you know, it just really showed a lot about what power can do, and the students that were chosen to be
the guards,
really the power went to their heads.
Yeah, they really
it went to their head.
Yeah, they became brutal.
Yeah.
Right, right. And it happens. It's unfortunate, but it definitely happens. Yeah. You know, you always have that one or two police officers that were the little kid that got bullied, and, you know, they grew up, they put a little weight on, and you know, now I'm going to go be a police officer and, you know, treat people the way I was treated. So
I have a friend who became a police officer. He was actually making quite a bit of money in the stock, doing stock stuff, but he wanted to be a cop really bad, and when I asked him why, he said, because I can't wait to pull my gun out for the first time.
Wow.
Yeah. And those are the people we do not want wearing a uniform. You know?
And he's still out there doing it.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it just proves my point. You know, there's people that get into it for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
And so, because there's, go ahead. Sorry.
No. Tell us a little about how corruption, you know, how these things are investigated, how they're caught, you know, because there's a lot of things in the news. I mean, and I'm mm-hmm. sure that there are certain situations that are not caught. But, you know, what is the investigation like for these things?
Well, I mean, it could start many ways. You know, one of the guys I was talking about in Nashville, he was actually involved in the drug game. And, you know, one of his biggest competition, who was a drug dealer, got upset. So, of course, he set up a sting operation with law enforcement, and that's how he got caught. You know, but it could be a tip from a private citizen, like it was in that case, or, you know, just internal affairs could start looking into stuff. So, you know, eventually these guys are going to get caught. You know, no one can be dirty forever without getting caught.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the consequences are, they vary, of course, but you know, is it pretty severe for, more severe for police officers that are involved in this because of the standards?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you're talking federal prison time in most cases, and, you know, federal prison time is, you know, you don't get time off for good behavior, you don't get all that good stuff. If you get 30 years, you're serving 30 years, so, yeah, absolutely, because again, the judge at the end of the day during sentencing is going to say, hey, you were hired to uphold the law, not break the law. So,
right, right. And Greg, did you have a question? Or?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, it's when we see a lot of what's kind of going on in the news, different things like that, and I know Joseph had mentioned probably things that are uncut. If this is something you're able to say, Mr. Hill, of course, Vincent Hill joining us now, but how much do you think goes undetected? I mean, is this a situation where there's a lot more than we see, or is it still a situation where most officers, you know, are abiding the law and are very good?
Yeah, I think for the most part, I'd say 99% of officers are abiding the law. Of course, you know, when I was on the department, there wasn't this big influx of social media, camera phones, you know, everything like that that kind of shed police into this bad light of everyone's being brutal, they're corrupt, you know. So I would still say 99% of law enforcement are doing what they're supposed to do. There is that 1% out there that you'll always have, you know, for whatever reason, they're going to always be there. And it's not just in police, it's in everything, you know, politics, Walmart, wherever, you're going to have that corrupt crowd,
that's
that 1%.
That's very true. And what is your advice to individuals out there if they feel that they may be dealing with someone who is, you know, may not be the most level-headed cop or most ethical individual? What steps should they take? And immediately when dealing with that individual and then also beyond?
Right. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. First, I would say compliance is survival. You know, the minute you start mouthing off to a cop, whether that cop has good intentions or bad intentions, it's going to heighten his anger level. It's going to heighten his suspicion. It's going to heighten everything. So if you're on a traffic stop and the officer says, let me see your license. Again, I go back to social media. Don't be like the hundreds of people that post videos of arguing with police officers, and because we see how that ends. Mm-hmm. You know, it's quite obvious how that ends. I mean, look at Sandra Bland in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, was she breaking the law? No, absolutely not. But that officer, for whatever reason, when she said, oh, why do I have to put my cigarette out? We see the result of that. So first I would say compliance is everything. And, you know, once that altercation, that encounter is over, then file a complaint. You know, that everyone has a supervisor. Their supervisors have supervisors. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, why argue? Just do what they say.
Yeah.
Right, right. And, you know, even when I was on a traffic stop, you know, I'm the most level-headed, you know, person out there. But the minute you start yelling and bad-mouthing me, it's going to, well, what do you have to hide from me? Okay, so I'm going to do whatever I can to get you out of that car to see what you're trying to hide. So compliance is everything.
Right, right. And I know you mentioned Sandra Bland. Are there any other cases currently that you're looking at or following, especially to see what happens?
Oh, there's so many. One would be the Dylan Taylor case. He was actually an unarmed white male that was shot in Salt Lake City just 2 days after Michael Brown. And it's ironic most people don't know Dylan Taylor, but of course everyone knows Michael Brown. But circumstances were similar, that he was unarmed, but they were different in the fact that he really wasn't doing anything. So I'm definitely following that case.
Excellent, excellent. And so I'm sure that you know you are a true crime author. I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Can you tell us a little about your books, the two so far, and this third one that you're working on, and how your experience has really helped you, you know, bring these things to life for people?
Absolutely. So my first two books, the first was entitled Playbook to a Murder, and the second was entitled Incomplete Pass, and they're both looking into the investigation of the shooting death of Steve McNair, who, of course, was killed July 4th, 2009, in Nashville, Tennessee. Ironically, Nashville Police Department, who I used to work for, closed the case as a murder-suicide. But, you know, when you start digging into the facts of the case, the evidence of the case, the alibis that were contradicted, everything that you start looking into shows that it was not a murder-suicide. So Playbook to a Murder kind of teases you with what could have happened, But when you get into incomplete pass, it really starts pointing the fingers at, okay, who had the most to gain from Steve's death? You know, who could have been involved? Who knew who? So it's, one's a teaser and one is just in your face. Wham, here it is. So it's doing great. They're both on Amazon.com.
Okay.
They've both gotten great reviews. Playbook to a Murder was featured on True Crime with Aphrodite Jones last year. The case, although it's officially closed, you know, people contact me almost daily asking about the case and giving their feedback of how they don't believe it's true. And once they read the book, they definitely, you know, contact me and say, hey, you know, everything you said is spot on and it makes perfect sense. So, you know, I would urge anyone that's a sports fan, a true crime fan, not for a book sale, because I never wrote the books for that reason. But, you know, I wrote the books to say, hey, don't believe everything you hear mm-hmm. without knowing all the facts. So anyone that's a sports fan that loves Steve McNair, loves football, you know, I would urge, hey, go out and get the books, Playbook to a Murder and Incomplete Pass. And I assure you, you will be mind blown when you read it.
Terrific. And in the third one, you're... Oh, I'm sorry, Eric.
I was going to say, that's like the kind of books I love.
You do? Yeah. Yeah, especially when you know someone, you know, has the experience. I mean, you know that it's going to be well-written and well-researched.
I just love true stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I've always loved true stories. And, you know, 20 years ago, if you would have asked me what I've written a book, I would have told you you're crazy. So,
Yeah, and the
Eric...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Eric, if you get a chance to read it, by all means, let me know your thoughts on it.
Absolutely. I can't wait to read it.
Definitely. So, Joseph, so the third book, and yes. it's not actually titled yet, and most of it's in my head and some of it's on paper, but it's basically looking at, you know, all these cases, your Michael Browns, your Eric Gardner's, your Tamir Rice, all of these cases. And it's basically going to essentially tell the black community how to deal with police. Because it goes back to what I said. You know, as tragic as Eric Gardner was, had he not resisted arrest, bottom line is he'd be alive today. Mm-hmm. It's sad, but it's true. You know, so I'm going to look at all these cases. I'm going to say, hey, what went wrong? Here's how we fix it. Because one thing we do, especially in the black community, is we're so quick to be in an uproar, be in a protest. But as long as we ignore what we're doing to get us there, we'll never fix it. So that's what I'm looking to do with this book.
Excellent. And so everyone go to Amazon.com, look up Vincent Hill, and you know, I'm sure you have an author's page on there, right?
I do.
Excellent. And a couple final questions. As a private investigator, are you accepting clients? Is there a website that people can find more information on you for that in case they're interested?
I do have a website. It's vincent.hill@strikinglee.com.
Okay.
That's strinkly.com, I believe. And, of course, I'm on Twitter, Vincent Hill Sr., @VincentHillSr., and, of course, Facebook as well. So
okay.
I'm definitely out there in the social media world.
Okay, excellent. And now for as far as Cop Car goes, in our first hour, I think we were kind of talking about, you know, if there were kids, they would never take a cop car. I mean, do you think that would be believable? Those two kids in the movie, you think that they would actually take that cop car?
Actually, you know, it happens more than police want to admit. Whether it's kids, whether it's a suspect, whether it's anybody, you know, true story. And it's funny now, wasn't funny then. My patrol car actually got stolen by a suspect that was handcuffed in the back of my car.
Really?
Yeah, you don't want anyone to know that.
Right. So it happens more than people realize. You know, of course, most departments kind of want to keep that on the hush because it's, you know, an embarrassment. And, you know, it's also, I'm glad you went back to that, Joseph, because I wanted to touch on this. It's also very dangerous because there's stuff in there that you just don't want the average person to have.
Oh, that's very true. Very true. Especially the weapons and all that stuff. And, you know, so, but, you know, again, retired police officer, private investigator, true crime author, Vincent Hill. Everyone check out his books. Go to Amazon.com. And you know, just thank you so much for helping us celebrate Cop Car. It is a great film.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It was. Thank you so much for having me, gentlemen.
Thank you. And we look forward to reading your books.
Yes, sir. Thank
you. I'm gonna read it.
Awesome.
Take care. Take care.
Well, great stuff there from Vincent Hill, of course, and it's interesting really to see what goes on behind the scenes. I'm with Eric, true stories especially that of course have some mystery to it and maybe corruption. Interesting to always kind of hear
like
what's going
on. What would you rather read, The Hobbit or something like his book?
Of course his book. That being said, though, I would never like to read The Hobbit. But
I wouldn't either.
But
I
no,
have
that,
read it.
But his books sound interesting. And Steve McNair, it's interesting that he brought that up because I had sort of forgotten about that. But I do remember there was a lot of questioning kind of going on.
Well, originally they declared it a suicide.
Right, yeah.
Which is weird because he was shot in the torso and in the head four times altogether.
Yeah, things don't add up there, and a great guest, of course, Vincent Hill, kind of shedding that to light. So check out his books, of course, you know, true crime author, so a couple books out there, as he said. And
what are you doing, Joseph?
I've got a question. Who is Michael Anthony from Van Halen?
That's the bass player.
Is he attractive?
Ex-bass player.
Is he a good guy? You like him?
I'm sure he's a great bass player, yeah.
All right, because someone says that dude with the blue shirt and glasses looks like Michael Anthony from Van Halen.
No, you don't.
Do I look closer? Closer? I know.
No, you don't.
On. All right, well, Eric's saying I don't, but I want to thank James for the compliment, possibly. It's a compliment, right?
Well, Michael Anthony's a short, kind of dumpy-looking dude, and he used to have like a mullet haircut.
Oh, if
I don't know what he looks like now.
Well, I'm going to look him up for you.
You're going to look him up, so thank you very much. But thank you for watching us on Meerkat. Again, at Breakthrough Entertainment on Meerkat. We're also on Periscope at Eric Reinert 1.
You look nothing like him.
I don't? You don't think so? Well, I'm going to see a picture of him, and we'll find out.
All right. Is it time for music?
Yeah, let's play our next song. This is Mother Died.
Yes, he does.
Washboard Chaz.
You think he does?
Bad Lieutenant Port of New Orleans.
He's a guy with the pink. The reason that he looks like him is like the bone structure in the face.
The bone
like
structure?
Like his chin, the way it comes out.
My hair.
Not the hair, really, but yeah, the kind of the bone structure. Yeah, that's a good one.
Well,
yeah, I think so.
Well, to our Meerkat listeners and watchers and Periscope watchers, if you have any comments or questions, please let us know. We will be happy to answer them on the air.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, this is...
You said you were going to sing their comment.
Oh, I love Michael Anthony. You have to find a young pick.
We can't
there
hear
we
you.
Go.
He says that we have to find a young pick. He says that he loves Michael Anthony.
All right, there we go.
All right.
Next time,
thank
Joseph, you go to the camera,
problem.
What we'll do is I'll shoot your microphone around really quick
right,
so the
you.
Folks on the dial go, what the heck are you doing?
Sorry.
Of course, this is Breakthrough Entertainment, 1480 AM KPHX. Very special thanks once again to our guest, Vincent Hill. And coming up, some reviews. And then later on in the hour, author Felicia Day will join us as well. So a lot of good stuff going on. We'll be right back.
She's been with me for all my years. Now all I will have